Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, and on this podcast, I'm going to discuss Discovery Institute's response to false claims made by evolutionist experts in Texas regarding the Tree of Life. On March 25th, I testified before the Texas State Board of Education and presented them with responses from Discovery Institute to the testimony of evolutionist experts David Hillis and Ronald Wetherington before the Texas State Board of Education on January 1st, 2009. One part of the response to self-proclaimed Tree of Life expert David Hillis that should not be missed is Discovery's response to his bluffs and misrepresentations regarding the congruence of molecular and morphological phylogenies within the Tree of Life. Specifically, Hillis told the board that there is, quote, overwhelming agreement correspondence as you go from protein to protein, DNA sequence to DNA sequence, unquote, when reconstructing evolutionary history using biological molecules. But anyone accurately testifying about the state of molecular systematics would never make such a claim, and there is much documentation in the mainstream scientific literature refuting it. What follows is the section from Discovery Institute's rebuttal to Hillis that is of interest to those wondering about the viability of Hillis's claims about congruence and correspondence within the Tree of Life. A full version of this rebuttal, including its references, can be found at discovery.org. Part B. Hillis misled the board about challenges to Darwin's Tree of Life. Hillis cited himself as a, quote, world's leading expert on the Tree of Life, unquote, and later told the Texas State Board of Education that there is, quote, overwhelming agreement, correspondence as you go from protein to protein, DNA sequence to DNA sequence, unquote, when reconstructing evolutionary history using biological molecules. Hillis's self-proclaimed expertise makes it all the more egregious that he tried to mislead the Texas State Board about the widespread prevalence of incongruencies between various molecular phylogenies within his field of systematics. Indeed, the cover story of the journal New Scientist, published on the very day that Hillis testified before the state board, was titled, quote, Why Darwin Was Wrong, unquote, about the Tree of Life. Directly contradicting Hillis's gross oversimplifications of molecular systematics, the article reported that, quote, the problem was that different genes told contradictory evolutionary stories, unquote. The article observed that with the sequencing of the genes and proteins of various living organisms, the Tree of Life fell apart, stating, quote, for a long time the Holy Grail was to build a Tree of Life, says Eric Baptiste, an evolutionary biologist at the Pierre and Marie Curie University in Paris, France. A few years ago, it looked as though the Grail was within reach, but today the project lies in tatters, torn to pieces by an onslaught of negative evidence. Many biologists now argue that the tree concept is obsolete and needs to be discarded. We have no evidence at all that the Tree of Life is a reality, says Baptiste. That bombshell has even persuaded some that our fundamental view of biology needs to change, unquote. To reiterate, the basic problem is that one gene or protein yields one version of the Tree of Life, while another gene or protein yields an entirely different tree. As the New Scientist article stated, quote, the problems began in the early 1990s when it became possible to sequence actual bacterial and archaeal genes rather than just RNA. Everybody expected these DNA sequences to confirm the RNA tree, and sometimes they did, but crucially, sometimes they did not. RNA, for example, might suggest that species A was more closely related to species B than species C, but a tree made from DNA would suggest the reverse, unquote. Likewise, leading evolutionary bioinformatics specialist W4 Doolittle explains, quote, molecular phylogenists will have failed to find the true tree, not because their methods are inadequate or because they have chosen the wrong genes, but because the history of life cannot properly be represented as a tree, unquote. Hillis and others may claim that this problem is only encountered when one tries to reconstruct evolutionary relationships of microorganisms such as bacteria, which can swap genes through a process called horizontal gene transfer, thereby muddying any phylogenetic signal. But this objection holds no water, because the Tree of Life is challenged even among higher organisms where such gene swapping does not take place. As the New Scientist article explains, quote, Sevanen recently compared 2,000 genes that are common to humans, frogs, sea squirts, sea urchins, fruit flies, and nematodes. In theory, he should have been able to use the gene sequences to construct an evolutionary tree showing the relationships between the six animals. He failed. The problem was that different genes told contradictory evolutionary stories. This was especially true of sea squirt genes. Conventionally, sea squirts, also known as tunicates, are lumped together with frogs, humans, and other vertebrates in the phylum Chordata, but the genes were sending mixed signals. Some genes did indeed cluster within chordates, but others indicated that tunicates should be placed with sea urchins, which aren't chordates. Roughly 50% of its genes have one evolutionary history, and 50% another, Sevanen says, unquote. To reiterate, even among higher organisms, the article explains that, quote, the problem was that different genes told contradictory evolutionary stories, unquote, therefore leading Savanin to say regarding the relationship of these higher groups, quote, we've just annihilated the tree of life, unquote. This directly contradicts the claims of David Hillis. Other scientists agree. Looking higher up the tree, a recent study published in Science tried to reconstruct the phylogeny of animal relationships, but concluded that, quote, despite the amount of data and breadth of taxa analyzed, relationships among most animal phyla remain unresolved, unquote. Likewise, Carl Woese, the father of evolutionary molecular systematics, observed that these problems extend well beyond the base of the tree, stating, quote, phylogenetic incongruities can be seen everywhere in the universal tree, from its root to the major branchings within and among the various taxa to the makeup of the primary groupings themselves, unquote. Striking admissions of troubles in reconstructing the tree of life also came from a paper in the journal Public Library of Science Biology, entitled Bushes in the Tree of Life. The authors acknowledged that, quote, a large fraction of single genes produce phylogenies of poor quality, unquote, observing that one study, quote, omitted 35% of single genes from their data matrix because those genes produced phylogenies at odds with conventional wisdom, unquote. The paper suggests that, quote, certain critical parts of the tree of life may be difficult to resolve regardless of the quantity of conventional data available, unquote. The paper even contends that, quote, the recurring discovery of persistently unresolved clades, bushes, should force a reevaluation of several widely held assumptions of molecular systematics, unquote. Likewise, National Academy of Sciences biologist Lynn Margulis has had harsh words for the field of molecular systematics, which Hillis studies. In her article, The Phylogenetic Tree Topples, she explains that, quote, many biologists claim they know for sure that random mutation, purposeless chance, is the source of inherited variation that generates new species of life, and that life evolved in a single common trunk, dichotomously branching phylogenetic tree pattern, unquote. But she dissents from that view and attacks the dogmatism of evolutionary systematists, noting that, quote, especially dogmatic are those molecular modelers of the tree of life who, ignorant of alternative topologies such as webs, don't study ancestors, unquote. Hillis may put up non-credible protests that none of this represents a weakness in neo-Darwinian evolution. He told the Texas State Board of Education that there is, quote, overwhelming agreement, correspondence as you go, from protein to protein, DNA sequence to DNA sequence, unquote. But should we believe him? As the New Scientist article admits, quote, ever since Darwin, the tree has been the unifying principle for understanding the history of life on Earth, unquote. But now, since, quote, different genes told contradictory evolutionary stories, unquote, the notion of a tree of life is now becoming quickly a vision of the past, as the article stated it's being, quote, annihilated, unquote. Part C. Hillis misled the board about congruence among anatomical phylogenies and molecular phylogenies. Despite the fact that he called himself a tree of life expert, David Hillis also made the grossly inaccurate claim that, quote, there's overwhelming correspondence between basic structures that we have about the tree of life from anatomical data, from biochemical data, molecular sequence data, unquote. Yet many evolutionary scientists have recognized that evolutionary trees based upon morphology, physical characteristics of organisms, or fossils commonly conflict with evolutionary trees based upon DNA or protein sequences, also called molecule-based trees. For example, a review paper by Darwinian leaders in this field stated, quote, as morphologists with high hopes of molecular systematics, we end this survey with our hopes dampened. Congruence between molecular phylogenies is as elusive as it is in morphology and as it is between molecules and morphology, unquote. Another set of pro-evolution experts wrote, quote, that molecular evidence typically squares with morphological patterns is a view held by many biologists, but interestingly by relatively few systematists. Most of the latter know that the two lines of evidence may often be incongruent, unquote. The widespread prevalence of disagreement and non-correspondence between molecule-based evolutionary trees and anatomy-based evolutionary trees led to a major article in Nature that reported that disparities between molecular and morphological trees lead to evolution wars because, quote, evolutionary trees constructed by studying biological molecules often don't resemble those drawn up from morphology, unquote. The article's revelation of the disparities between molecular and morphological phylogenies was striking. As the article stated, quote, when biologists talk of the evolution wars, they usually mean the ongoing battle for supremacy in American schoolrooms between Darwinists and their creationist opponents. But the phrase could also be applied to a debate that is raging within systematics. On the one hand stand traditionalists who have built evolutionary trees from decades of work on species morphological characteristics. On the other hand lie molecular systematists who are convinced that comparisons of DNA and other biological molecules are the best way to unravel the secrets of evolutionary history. So can the disparities between molecular and morphological trees ever be resolved? Some proponents of the molecular approach claim there is no need. The solution, they say, is to throw out morphology and accept their version of the truth. Our method provides the final conclusion about phylogeny, claims Okada. Shared ancestry means a genetic relationship, the molecular camp argues, so it must be better to analyze DNA and the proteins it encodes rather than morphological characters that can end up looking similar as the result of convergent evolution in unrelated groups rather than through common descent. But morphologists respond that convergence can also happen at the molecular level, and note that there is a long history of systematists making large claims based on one new form of evidence, only to be proved wrong at a later date, unquote. Likewise, a review article in the journal Bioessays reported that despite a vast increase in the amount of data since Darwin's time, quote, our ability to reconstruct accurately the tree of life may not have improved significantly over the last 100 years, unquote, and that, quote, despite increasing methodological sophistication, phylogenies derived from morphology and those inferred from molecules are not always converging on a consensus, unquote. Strikingly, an article in Trends in Ecology and Evolution concluded, quote, the wealth of competing morphological as well as molecular proposals of prevailing phylogenies of the mammalian orders would reduce the mammalian tree to an unresolved bush, the only consistent clade probably being the grouping of elephants and sea cows, unquote. Hill has claimed that there is, quote, overwhelming correspondence, unquote, between anatomical and molecular phylogenies, but he seems to be inaccurately stating the facts on this matter. The truth is that there is great incongruence between these two different types of phylogenies, and that this incongruence is a huge issue within his own field of systematics. Why did Hillis misrepresent this information to the Texas State Board of Education? I'm Casey Luskin. A full reference version of this rebuttal to Dr. Hillis can be found at the website discovery.org. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.